Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
On this edition of SNU, I'm very pleased to have Nelson Narciso as my special expert guest. With over 10 years' experience in the health and wellness field, Nelson is a well-respected consultant on natural health products, sports nutraceuticals, botanical medicine, and Reiki. Nelson is a frequent speaker at seminars across the country, a popular radio guest, and a regular contributor to several natural health publications. He is also presently filming a program soon to be aired on Rogers Cable 10 called Interactive Fitness Challenge 9/11. Good morning, Nelson, and thank you for participating as my special guest on this edition of SNU.
Good morning, Corey. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, we always like to get right into the thick of things, and one of the most important questions that I think I always like to know myself is how you became involved in the health and wellness industry as a consultant and an educator.
Excellent question. It's a long answer. I'm going to give you the short and sweet version, however. I guess I first started back in university in the 90s. I developed a club called the Holistic Health Club, where I had naturopaths and chiropractors and a number of people in the holistic health world do seminars for members. And at that time, I realized the power of holistic medicine, the power of nutrition. So after leaving university, I went on to study botanical medicine and Reiki and nutrition. Worked in a health food store, managed it for several years, about 5 years. Went on to work with Body Plus, where I was a rep for also about 5 years. And the last almost 2 years now, I've been dedicated fully to just educating consumers and retailers alike across the country. So it's been quite the journey.
What is it about health and wellness that attracts you?
Well, I mean, of course, those are the building blocks. I mean, essentially, one of the things that it doesn't take a person too long to recognize that we're in a serious state in terms of our health here, not only in the country, but sort of around the world. Many diseases, which at one time were not prevalent, are now prevalent not only amongst the older population, but even amongst the younger population. So I've noticed this trend for the last two decades that as a population, our health has steadily declined, and that's a real concern. And I'm convinced it's not due to just environment. I'm convinced it has to do with both supplementation as well as nutrition. And that I know there's things that we can do through education to help people get back on track and stay healthy.
Now, I noticed that you have a background in Reiki. And can you tell us about that? And for those that don't understand what that is, perhaps you can give us a little bit of history on its significance and what relevance it has to natural healing.
Absolutely. Well, Reiki is a form, it's an actually ancient form of energy healing. Oftentimes people have heard of it as being the laying of hands. It essentially involves using energy to clear up the blockages of energy in individuals. So you'll find this sort of whole theme carries on through to acupuncture and therapeutic touch, where you basically try to block the energy obstructions in the body, allowing for sort of a more natural flow. And it's rather remarkable. People oftentimes think of Reiki as being something very hokey, and yet there have actually been studies, published studies, showing that individuals that have experienced Reiki tend to heal more rapidly after they've had surgery, after some sort of trauma. So it essentially just allows the flow of energy through the body to be less obstructed than it would have been otherwise.
What can someone expect from a standard or typical Reiki session?
Usually just increased mental clarity right off the bat. Better energy is one of the two most common things I experience when people have a session done. But typically over the course of, say, a 2 or 3 month treatment, people will notice definitely that they're more balanced. They just feel far more balanced with themselves. They feel a state of health returning back to their body. It allows them to just basically achieve a state of wellness that they may have lost for years. And it's really rather remarkable. Sometimes it can take several months. Sometimes it can only take a couple of sessions. It's really, really quite fascinating.
Now, Body Plus is a leading supplier of sports nutrition supplements in Canada, and I know that you had the national education program for them. How important is education in the natural health field? And how would you rate the current standards of education in the health, food, and fitness industry today?
Well, of course, I'm certainly biased in this regards, in that being an educator, I think it's extremely important. But I can tell you the reality is that in today's time, when you're working in a health food store, it's remarkable the difference I find from person to person in terms of the amount of information and knowledge they have. There really is a disparity in terms of that knowledge. And education is key to the success not only of the retailer, but of the consumer. The more that retailer knows, the better service they can provide to the consumer. The more the consumer knows, of course, the more educated they can be when it comes to making purchases. So I think it's key. The sad reality, however, is that a lot of retailers out there, unfortunately, for whatever reason, don't seem to understand the full value of education and the full value of educating their staff. So you really do get this rather enormous disparity from store to store, which is a bit disconcerting, to be quite honest.
So do you think that the sales and performance in the health food industry is really matching its potential right now?
Oh, absolutely not. Not at all. In fact, I would tell you if the retailers that I've spoken to were more actively involved in education, these areas would certainly grow. I mean, they'd explode. The reality is you're limited to what information you can provide to your consumers based on your product knowledge. And ultimately, if you don't have a good base in terms of knowledge, you're not able to give your customer not only the best advice, but in terms of those products that are sitting on your shelf, you're not able to fully utilize them because you don't know what their applications may be. And oftentimes, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a little bit later on with the sports supplements, things get pigeonholed. People just see them as having only one application, when in fact they may have dozens of applications that are being oftentimes neglected.
So if you were to explain what sports nutrition is, how would you do that?
That's an excellent question, and I'll tell you that the answer I'll give you today would have been probably different. The answer I would have given you, say, 5 or 6 years ago, in that back then I would have looked at sports nutrition wholly and pretty much entirely as something to improve athletic performance. However, now I would redefine that as just wellness products. I mean, sports nutrition, it's sort of been pigeonholed into that category, has many other benefits beyond just athletic benefits. I mean, many of these things like whey and creatine and glutamine have a tremendous therapeutic potential that goes well beyond just achieving, you know, your maximum athletic ability. And that's something that I've focused on over the years, is just not helping individuals that are athletic achieve better goals, achieve more strength, get in better physical shape, but also how the average individual who may not be an athlete, who may not work out consistently, even though we obviously recommend they do, how they too can benefit from the use of many of these sort of quote-unquote sports supplements.
So do you think that sports nutrition is growing, or has it peaked out in the health food industry?
Oh, it's definitely growing. It certainly could be growing at a more rapid rate, but it definitely is growing. And once again, I think the reason why it's growing is that a lot of these sort of traditional sports supplements are now spilling over into the rest of the population. You know, whey, for example, is effective for helping support immune function. It's good for cardiovascular support. It has antibiotic properties, fairly broad spectrum antibiotic properties. You know, you look at things like glutamine, fantastic for intestinal support, great for supporting immune function, liver and detox. It's just a wonderful supplement. And then even things like creatine. If you look at some of the research that's been done on creatine in the last 10 years, people are oftentimes amazed to discover that creatine can have a tremendous effect on the brain, from improving blood flow to improving oxygen flow to the brain, enhancing memory, good for neuromuscular diseases like Lou Gehrig's disease. It's effective at helping with seniors. I mean, creatine is one of those supplements that oftentimes gets ignored by seniors, and yet it's one of the probably one of the top five most important supplements, in my opinion, that seniors could use, simply because it's been shown in numerous studies to slow down muscle wasting. And of course, as you know all too well, Corey, when you lose muscle, your quality of life begins to decline rapidly. And creatine can obviously slow that process down. So I try to focus not only on just the athletic aspects of these different supplements, but also how they can play a huge role on a day-to-day basis just in maintaining overall health.
Well, and the market is much greater in that regard, isn't it? Like, relatively speaking, how many athletes walk into a health food store compared to, say, mainstream people who don't even consider themselves to be athletes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, in a best-case scenario, maybe 5 to even, and this is a really best-case scenario, 10% of the customer base might be individuals that are quite athletic. The vast majority are individuals that are not. You know, they might work out on occasion, but they certainly wouldn't consider themselves athletes.
Now, do you think that the guidelines for protein are adequate for intense workouts that the government advocates?
Oh, no. And that, in fact, that's the amount of protein they recommend is really quite laughable. The studies that they used to use to determine how much protein people should consume are really dated, and they're based on some really bad science, quite frankly. If you look at some of the more recent studies of the last 5 or so years, we do know clearly that people need more protein, especially if they're physically active. And the amounts that they used to recommend back in the day do not meet their needs. So individuals who are physically active should be trying to achieve roughly, and there's some debate on this, but usually between 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body mass. And there's, of course, some debate regarding that. But the recommendation back in the day that everyone is okay with 50 to 60 grams of protein, regardless of size, regardless of level activity, I mean, that's even counterintuitive. I mean, how can you tell a population that, you know, as a man, you should consume 60 grams? Well, we know that men and women, of course, come in all different sizes and shapes and have different levels of activity, and that wasn't reflected based on the protein that was recommended by the government. So we do know that the protein demands by individuals, especially those that are athletic, are significantly higher than those that are not athletic, that are lead a fairly sedentary life.
What do you say to somebody who says that, well, I don't want to take extra protein because it'll make me fat?
Okay, well, that's right off the bat. That's totally incorrect. Protein, just sort of, if you compare protein, fats, and carbs, and I gave one individual protein, another individual carbs, another individual just fat for the entire week, and I measured their metabolic rate. Right off the bat, protein is more thermogenic. In fact, your body requires more energy to digest and absorb protein than it does other sorts of calories, like from carbs and from fats. In fact, you burn 20% more calories from consuming protein than you do from carbs and fats. So right off the bat, protein is itself thermogenic or has the ability to help increase weight loss. But then aside from that, when you have protein with your meals, protein helps balance blood sugar. It stabilizes insulin, so you tend to not overeat. And by keeping your insulin levels in check, you prevent someone from becoming hyper or hypoglycemic. And of course, that whole kind of roller coaster effect where you have too high blood sugar and too low blood sugar. And people oftentimes in that situation tend to overeat. They try to need to get a quick fix of carbs, so they tend to eat the junk foods. By having protein, you effectively stabilize or balance blood sugar. And in so doing, you're able to eat less, and you're also not as likely to convert those carbohydrates into fat. And we know that to be a well-known fact. It's been well documented that if you have protein with your meals, you will, in essence, reduce the likelihood of some of those calories being converted into body fat.
That's a great response, Nelson, because you cover all the angles. Like when somebody asks you this question, you just can't say yes or no or answer in 5 or 6 words, can you?
No, you can't. In fact, I think one of my I don't know if I call it a failing, is I tend to be verbose anyway. But when it comes to this topic of nutrition and supplementation, like you said, there is no just one word answer. It involves some explanation and some, you know, an in-depth answer. And I couldn't just answer that question by saying yes, protein will not allow you to contribute to, or will not contribute to more weight gain. That would be wouldn't be an appropriate answer.
Right on. That's great. Now let's get into another topic of great significance, and I know that your knowledge base in this area is tremendous. Let's talk about acid alkaline balance in health and nutrition, and maybe the benefits that are associated that relate to athletic performance and the objectives that athletes have in mind. Why should they pay attention to what is acid and what is alkaline, and what does that mean?
Okay. Certain foods that we consume increase the amount of acids we produce in the body. In fact, they are, as they're known, acid-forming. For example, things like alcohol, stress, overtraining, or, by contrast, not exercising at all. All of these things increase the amount of what they call metabolic acids we produce, which, by the way, you can measure if you go to your local health food store, or even oftentimes certain pharmacies carry this. You can buy something called litmus paper or pH paper, and with that you can take a urinary measurement. You can analyze your urine and as well as your saliva and determine whether or not you fall within this sort of healthy balance of acid alkaline. And they recommend the ideal scenario is that we're about 7.39. This would be the optimal pH. However, there is a range between 7.36 to 7.42 is sort of the healthy range. Now, if you're consuming a diet that consists heavily of acid-forming foods, like the alcohol, and I should mention, not to be unfair to alcohol, not all alcohols are acid-forming, which oftentimes in many books I've read, it's really inaccurate when these books make reference to all alcohol being acid-forming. They're not. Some of the darker beers, for example, like Guinness, would be actually alkalizing. But many things that we do consume today, unfortunately, are in fact acid-forming. Most of the processed foods, sugar is extremely acid-forming, and I don't have to tell you that sugar consumption is a major concern for all of us that are involved in nutrition. We consume far too much sugar in North America, and sugar is by far one of the most acid-forming of all foods. By contrast, fruits and vegetables are very alkalizing, and there are many other things that are alkalizing that we do consume, but the reality is there's a real imbalance with regards to how many acid-forming foods we consume relative to alkalizing. They do suggest that we should have a 70% alkalizing diet to 30% acid-forming diet. In reality, it's more 50-50, or one would even argue possibly 60-40 in favor of acid-forming foods. And it's this imbalance that creates a real state of imbalance in the body. When you're overly acidic, we do know this has been well documented, you have an increased risk of cancer. Many what they call pathogenic organisms, these are disease-causing organisms, thrive in an acidic environment. These organisms do not like being in an alkaline environment, which I should mention, when your body is more alkaline, it's also more aerobic. When it's more acid-forming, it's more anaerobic or lacks oxygen, as they say. So being overly acidic, it does create a state of dishealth, a disease. And with exercise performance, and this is one of the things that I always find really interesting, a lot of individuals have never thought of a connection between, you know, can being overly acidic negatively impact my athletic performance? And the answer is absolutely. We do know that when you are overly acidic, you are more catabolic, meaning you break down more tissue, muscle being one of them, and you are also less anabolic. Your body doesn't have the ability to repair, in this case muscle as well, as it would if it was more alkaline. So certainly, if you are able to achieve a more alkaline diet through the consumption of more fruits and vegetables, as well as certain supplements, like a good calcium supplement will alkalize the body as well. By doing that, you can also achieve better athletic goals by achieving more muscle and breaking down less muscle.
So what actually makes the food acidic? Like, for example, when you eat a pear versus a piece of toast, one being more alkaline and the other one being more acidic, what is it in the food that makes it alkaline in the blood?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's actually a tricky question, because oftentimes people ask me, well, if it's based on pH, that must mean that a lemon or a lime, an orange, which if we were to squeeze some lemon juice into a glass and measure it with pH paper, we would definitely find that it is acidic. Yet what's interesting here is that these fruits, which are acidic outside of the body, in fact alkalize the body. And what's doing that is something, and this is a bit sort of heavy into the chemistry, but it's their anion or cation potential. So it's essentially whether they donate a negative ion or a positive ion. So it's the actual natural chemistry of the foods that we consume that ultimately impact whether or not those foods are alkalizing or acid-forming. It's also the mineral content of that food, the heavy mineral content, that plays a role in that regard as well. So that's why if you have foods that are usually oftentimes very high in calcium, magnesium, and manganese, they also tend to be alkalizing. So one can't automatically assume that because a food outside of the body is acidic, it will acidify the body. That is a common mistake. You can have many foods, as I've just described with lemons and limes and oranges, that are in fact alkalizing. So what I do always encourage people to do is look for acid alkalizing charts. And what I do want to recommend is they don't just look for any chart, because I oftentimes I'm rather disappointed with the misinformation in many of the books that have been published out there. What you want to look for is something called the potential renal acid load of foods. It's abbreviated PRAL. And if you go online and look for a potential renal acid load chart, you'll find a series of charts that list where foods fall in terms of whether they're acid-forming or alkalizing, and then it'll let you know specifically how, not only is it acid-forming, but how acid-forming is it. Is it a strong acid-forming food or a mild acid-forming food? Or is it a very alkalizing food or is it a moderately alkalizing food? And it's good to have those charts on hand and look at your diet and see if your diet, in fact, is consisting of too many of those acid-forming foods, you know you've got to make some adjustments. And I apologize for having to go on and on here, but certainly with athletes, the one concern I have is that, of course, we do want them to consume a lot of protein. The question then becomes, what kinds of proteins are they going to consume? Although there's a bit of debate with regards to this, a lot of athletes, of course, choose to use a lot of animal proteins. And animal proteins are fairly acid-forming, and once again, there is a variation depending on the choice of animal protein. But for the most part, they are definitely all acid-forming. I've yet to find an animal protein that's not been shown to be acid-forming. By contrast, something like whey protein is in fact alkalizing. So if someone is consuming enormous amounts of protein, all from animal source, they need to be especially more aware of the fact that they are going to overly acidify their body unless they complement that with fruits and vegetables to neutralize some of those acids. So once again, like everything else in life, it's about balance. You can have your meat proteins if you want. In fact, there's some studies that suggest that meat proteins can have a more anabolic effect than other proteins, maybe whey being the exception. That's still one of the better ones out there. But the fact is, it's about balance. Have your meat proteins, but definitely have, you know, have a nice spinach salad with that. Have some kale. Buffer it as effectively as you can.
So if you have an acid-forming diet and one that's been dominated by acid for years, you go into that gym, say as a middle-aged man or woman, and you have excess body fat and you want to gain some muscle and reduce some fat, that's automatically working against you, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you'll find you have less energy. When you become more alkaline, in fact, it's probably due to the fact that when you're more alkaline, you have a greater oxygen capacity in the body, you'll find you have more energy during your workouts. You just feel better. You feel stronger. And you recover more rapidly. So you're absolutely correct. Someone going to the gym that's abused their body with too many acid-forming foods in the absence of alkalizing foods will most definitely notice a decline in performance from year to year.
And isn't it also true that you can alkalize your body by behavior patterns associated with meditation and relaxation?
Absolutely.
Avoiding sleep deprivation. I even found something that walking in your home in bare feet has an alkalizing effect on the overall chemistry.
Oh, that I didn't know, but you're absolutely correct with regards to meditation and just stress reduction. As I mentioned earlier, stress will increase your acidity. So things that you do to counter this stress, from meditation to Tai Chi to exercise, to deep breathing exercises, all of these grounding things will actually reduce the levels of acid produced in the body. So it's not just about, and I don't want to give people the impression, it's not just about nutrition, although that plays a significant role. It's also about, you know, mental and spiritual wellness as well. If someone achieves sort of those three triangles, the mental, the physical, and spiritual, if they achieve a healthy balance of those, they certainly will be more alkaline.
Well, that's fantastic, Nelson. Now, tell us a little bit about the program you're filming called the Interactive Fitness Challenge 9/11.
We've actually just finished the second season, and I apologize. I know that you may have been told that the first season was soon to be aired, but it's actually been airing now for probably the better part of the year. Unfortunately, it's shown on Rogers Cable 10, which I believe in the western part of the country, I believe Shaw is your primary cable service provider. So I believe you can go online to rogers.com and get some more information on the program. But essentially what we did was I, as sort of the head nutritionist, the lead nutritionist on the program, put together programs, nutrition programs and supplement-based programs for individuals whose goal it was to lose weight and gain muscle. When I say lose weight, lose, of course, body fat and gain lean muscle mass. And in the first season, we focused on people that were involved in the emergency services. So we had firemen, we had police officers, we had nurses and paramedics. We had a total of 10 participants, and each of them achieved some remarkable results. On average, they lost about 15% body fat over the course of the 3 months that we worked with them, and they gained significant amounts of lean body mass. And this year, this new season that's going to be starting hopefully the next 2 or 3 months, we focused on teachers. So we dedicated 3 months to helping teachers get back on track. Hopefully next year we'll also choose another group of individuals that could stand to benefit. So the results have been really quite remarkable. It's been really rewarding on my part to see the kind of impact that we've had on these individuals. And I don't want to give people the impression it was strictly nutrition. Of course, they also worked with a group of personal trainers and did a significant amount of exercise, both cardiovascular as well as free weight training. And we achieved some remarkable results, and they're happy to say, I just spoke to a couple of them just recently, although they finished filming last year, they still kept the weight off and have maintained their lifestyle, which is really encouraging.
That's excellent. I think it's clear that when you follow the course and do the work, you get the results. Now, maybe you could comment on motivation and attitude. What is it about people that leads to this constant struggle they have with getting to the gym or eating a clean diet or taking supplements? They buy the product, but they don't use them. What's going on in their brain?
Well, you know, I think the one thing I always look at is individuals that are like that oftentimes. You know, if you look at the lifestyle of individuals, say, 50 or even 100 years ago, you know, we look at our parents and our grandparents. We always hear the stories, you know, I used to have to walk 20 kilometers to school barefoot in the snow. You know, we hear these stories of them being extremely physically active, not having certain foods. You know, they said, oh, sugar was something we only got it on our birthdays. It was a luxury. Well, the reality is that we've evolved in such a way that our bodies are used to physical exercise. We're used to being physically active and not abusing our bodies with the kinds of foods that we do. Nowadays, people work in offices. They lead a very sedentary lifestyle. And that sedentary lifestyle, it tends to make you just lazy. I mean, you come home after being at the office for the day. People mentally oftentimes tell me that they don't seem to have the energy or the willpower to go to the gym. They've been in front of their desk all day. They feel drained. They feel depleted. And as a consequence, when they get home, the last thing they want to do is get their gym bag and head off to the gym and do a workout. The reality is, though, if they were to achieve a healthier diet, if they were to eat better foods, which would sort of not only feed their bodies but feed their brain, it would keep up their energy. When they got home, they would have that energy, that inspiration to go to the gym and work out. And I usually don't like to use sort of fear as a motivating factor, but you have to ask yourself, you know, am I going to allow myself to fall apart and eventually become someone who is ill? And the sad reality is the numbers out there show in North America, the state of our health is steadily declining. Things like heart disease and cancer and diabetes and obesity are on the rise. One needs to remember that, you know, don't think that you're immune to these sorts of problems. Ultimately, if you don't make that conscious choice to work out regularly, stay physically active, and also, not when I say work out, not just work out the body, but work out the mind, do certain things like yoga and tai chi, and just work out the whole balance of the body. If you don't do those things, over time, you may develop certain conditions. You may develop diseases that could have been prevented just by simply having the right attitude and the right motivation. And it is a tricky one. I mean, I have people who I've worked with who will work out, you know, for 2 years, and they'll be absolutely motivated. Then something comes up. They have an injury. They don't go to the gym for a couple of weeks or for a month. The next thing you know, they're off the bandwagon, and for a year, they don't go back to the gym. So I really can't explain the whole psyche behind what always makes people sometimes give up on working out. But I can tell you, once you start, and I always say it's sort of the 2 or 3 week wall, once you work out for the first 2-3 weeks, and you notice the way you feel, the difference in your mental clarity, your energy, your overall wellness, your complexion, when you see those differences, then you get motivated, then you get hooked, and you want to stick with it. You know, and the key is just not only doing things that involve going to the gym, you know, look for exercises that are fun. I mean, if you like to, this time of the year, cross-country ski or go downhill skiing, or if you'd like to jog, look for activities that are inspiring. If going to the gym and lifting weights and running in a stationary treadmill, running in spot, is not something that excites you, well, then do things that are exciting. Find activities that stimulate you, things that you look forward to. Get involved in teams. So, you know, although the gym is sort of seen by many as the only real effective way of working out, there are many other options available to us, and a lot of us have to recognize that although maybe when the weather's awful, I live here in Toronto, Canada, when we have a snowstorm, of course, you're not going to go out and go for a jog. You just can't do that. You've got to go to the gym. But look for other activities that are engaging, that involve working with other people, that are, you know, also not only recreational, but are also lots of fun.
Well, that was great. Now, do you have a website, a telephone number, or a email that people and our listeners can refer to if they want to follow up on the information that you've provided today?
My own personal web address is www.keepwell, that's KEEPWELL.ca. You can also get a hold of me through Body Plus's website, which is www.bodyplus, and that's PLUS, not the symbol plus, .ca. Or you can call Body Plus at their office, their 800 number, at 1-888-788-3396. And you'll get lots of great information via the websites, or if you call the office, we do have some nutritionists on staff that are more than happy to give people advice as well as product information. So by all means, hopefully people will access these web addresses as well as the number.
That's great, Nelson. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Well, our time is gone, and we've got time for one more question, and it's a big one, and I'm going to lay it on you. I want you to help us understand what health truly means and is to you.
That is a good one. I feel like I'm on one of those Miss America pageants, and I've got that whopping question at the very end, the deciding question. Well, health for me is first and foremost just achieving wellness. I can tell you, when I do all the things that I preach, when I exercise, when I eat well, when I take the right supplements, I just feel more whole, I feel more grounded, My energy, my mental clarity is dramatically enhanced, and I just feel more whole. I feel more complete, you know? That's why I love the whole idea of holistic medicine. It involves looking at the whole body, not just its individual parts. And when you start looking into and educating yourself on the importance of nutrition and supplementation and active, healthy living, you'll find that you become a better person. You honestly will achieve in every aspect of your life, not just in terms of your health, but also professionally. You will achieve the best that you possibly can when you are healthy. And the only way to achieve that health is by balancing all those angles, the physical angle as well as the nutrition and supplementation angle as well as the spiritual angle. So once you've achieved that, you will be a better and more whole person. And I can tell you, no one that I've ever spoken to who has gone on to change their lifestyle dramatically and now has incorporated exercise and nutrition has ever said to me that they felt worse, that they haven't achieved as much. In fact, it's really helped them achieve things they wouldn't have achieved otherwise. And it's kept them motivated. They've achieved success in areas of their lives that they probably wouldn't have achieved were they to maintain a sedentary lifestyle and focus on eating foods that were very unhealthy and unbalanced. So I do encourage everyone out there listening that you basically try as much as you can to focus on the education that's available to you. This program that Corey offers, I think, is fantastic. I applaud you, by the way, Corey, for having dedicated your life to educating people out there in the area of nutrition and supplementation and just healthy living, because that's something to be put out there. So I do encourage everyone, if they possibly can, just stay educated and stay active.
Nelson Narciso, a well-respected consultant on natural health products, an expert in sports nutraceuticals, botanical medicine, a frequent speaker at seminars across the country. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.